Well, good morning once again. We have enjoyed this short period of fellowship, and I'm looking forward to the one that will happen after this class. I don't want to take any more of our time, but if you're joining us on Facebook, we're continuing our gospel meeting, and this is our class period. Brother Jeff Archie once again will speak, and he knows he's got till 10:45, and I'm saying it again, so the listening audience and everybody knows. But I'm excited for his lesson. Brother Archie, the pulpit is yours.
We've been sharing our meetings together with our Facebook page of the International Gospel Hour. So for those who are tuning in on our Facebook page, thank you, and it's good to be with you as we're going to spend a few moments in the study of God's Word. This is our Bible class hour. Bible class, a lot of times I like to go on the floor, but with everything we have here, it's just as appropriate to be right here. Would you take your Bibles and let's go to the Old Testament for our Bible study, to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. We're going to allow the book of Habakkuk to introduce our study today. And of course, it's near the end of the Old Testament. Go to Malachi and back up about four or five books, and you're right there in Habakkuk. One of the shorter prophets, sometimes called the minor prophets. Not that the message is minor, but because of brevity. And so some prefer, as I do, the shorter prophets as far as size. As we look at this in a moment, Brother James came out the door and asked me of the quote that I did last hour of what's on the tombstone. Remember me as you passed by, did I hear the other verse? And I said, yes, I did, but I wanted to save it because I didn't think it would work well with an invitation. But once again, for those that missed it, there's a tombstone back home of a graveyard that my daddy and I used to take care of. And on the tombstone it says, remember me as you passed by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you soon will be. Prepare for death and follow me. When you drive a push mower by it over and over and trim it, just over a period of years, you read it and remember it. I heard a little bit later, a few years later, that one individual read that and took a pencil and wrote underneath the following. To follow you, I'm not content till I find out which way you went. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. And so we need to make certain we see lives that are according to the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 3, we see a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth, the area there within Judah. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And then a concluding thought down to verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk, the prophet of the Lord, was warning Judah of its imminent fall, which did happen in 606 BC as Babylon swept Judah off into captivity. Because of Judah's unfaithfulness to the Lord. But Habakkuk the prophet prayed the Lord would revive his work for his people. Now Habakkuk the prophet is a little unique from other prophets in that while the prophets pleaded with the people on behalf of God, the other prophets, Habakkuk pleads with God on behalf of the people. And you note there are three ways that he does it. And the three we have mentioned. Revive, verse 2. Remember, verse 2. Rejoice, verse 18. Revive God's work among God's people. When we think about gospel meetings, homecomings, revival, there's nothing wrong with using the word revival 16 times in the scriptures. We find the word revive. We sing, revive us again. And in the word revival means to make alive, to keep alive, or to make alive again. That's the word revival. To make alive, to keep alive, or make alive again. Lord, revive your work. Bring us back to life. Don't forget us. Then he says, remember. Remember, and look at what the plea of remembrance. Remember mercy. The children of Israel, although with their wickedness, their departure, Judah specifically, they needed mercy upon them. Never underestimate the mercy of our God. We look all through Scripture and we find how merciful God indeed is. How he was and how he is. Then the word rejoice in the Lord, in the God of my salvation. And I think of Psalm 85:6 when the psalmist said, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And so when we think about periods of revival, we are in a world that we need to plead to the Lord. Lord, help us revive our works so people will remember your mercy and that others may rejoice in the Lord as do we. So, homecoming weekends seem to grant reviving. People love to come back home and maybe they need to come back to the Lord in his house, the church. It's also a time of remembering. You know, when someone comes back for homecoming, they're going to go over to the graveside of that loved one and they're going to have wonderful memories. And then also, too, to rejoice in the fact that we're still living. We can still be revived in our Lord's work and to revive and renew us as we press on. You know, as we mentioned the other night, there are things that we've had to adjust differently in the past year. We've had to remember when we enter the building to step over with our contribution and to make that safe. The partaking of the Lord's Supper with the emblems prepared, that has changed things. And when we think about what we have dealt with, folks, it's good that we will revive our works. There's nothing wrong with making those adjustments. And folks, who knows? There are congregations that may continue indefinitely with how we serve the Lord's Supper, how we lay aside our contribution. I mean, there are many individuals that are now speaking through the power of social media, and we were not before. Think with me for a moment. Before this, Justin, how many people would have heard our lesson on Friday night?
Not a thousand.
Not a thousand. How many would have heard it on Saturday night?
Not 700.
Not 700. It would have been those right here. What an opportunity for people to tune in, to study, and for folks that are joining us even today. Let's talk about reviving our work. In light of the year that we've had, in light of You Would assembling back together, in light of homecoming and all, let's take a look and talk about reviving the work. Let's revive the work, first of all, with this much needed commitment. To revive a work, we've got to seek out and commit to that work. We've got to commit to the work of our Lord evangelistically, and we have to commit to our Lord by way of edification. The last two nights, we wanted to revive the work, to revive congregations, Friday night, looking at Thessalonica, and to revive us as individuals with Philip as an example. But for you and I to change and to be revived with a new commitment. Matthew 6:33 still stands true. With everything that the Lord said, God provides. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we putting first the Lord and his kingdom? Second, Colossians 3 mentioned last hour, if you then be risen with Christ, you seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It takes a commitment to make it work. I'm reminded of the little ditty of the chicken and the pig discussing, let's give something to a children's home. And the chicken said, I'll give the eggs and you give the ham. And the hog said, wait a minute. Yours is a contribution. Mine is a commitment. Little small ditty story, kind of cute in its way. And if you believe that a chicken and a hog had a conversation like that, God bless you. But the point is true. There's a difference in a contribution and a commitment. Are we committed and have a new commitment to our Lord? Yes, the pandemic altered a lot of things, but I believe we can come back better and more improved. Why go back? And I know people say, I'd love to get back to a sense of normalcy. Understand what that means. But I'd like to see us become better from what we've learned from it. We need to be committed in our works. In Psalm 37, 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 16, 3, commit thy words unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We need to make the plea, Lord, revive our commitment. Good brethren, as you assemble back for your brethren meetings to discuss the work of the church, it's a good time to talk about what is our commitment, what are we going to do, and how do we move onward. Here's our second. We are revived and we rejoice. Revive our work, not only with commitment, but revive our work with our attendance. There's something beautiful about coming to the house of the Lord to assemble together. The words of the psalmist in Psalm 122 in verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. His response, he was glad. To go into the house of the Lord, to assemble together. I am greatly encouraged that we can assemble back together within, if you will, the house of the Lord. I know the house of the Lord is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. But to assemble back together means so much. Dear friends, that was a challenge to assemble. I knew of one congregation that at the request of the ruling authorities in the state of Alabama, that they were trying to limit with elders that had concern of health, not only spiritually, but physically. Because remember, elders are called when there's the prayer of the sick. Elders have that concern. I talk to elders all over. With my work, I talk to elders at different places. One congregation, in recognizing a limit of 10 for people to come and assemble, starting at 9 o'clock until 5 o'clock, given Sundays, families have the time where they could come together and assemble with a smaller number. I commend an eldership for that. I also knew of places that would try to work, rowing off the rows. Appreciate that. Maybe there are those that would assemble. I'll just use right here. Could come in. Is there another door going out over there to go outside?
This side.
This side right here. You know, what if folks would come in this side to assemble that had a little bit more concern and precaution? And those that maybe not have as much concern or precaution. I'm going to say this kindly. When did the Lord's church get ignorant? Through the years, did we not have concern one for another in matters of health? And now all of a sudden, we want to make it a major issue. Listen, beloved. Go back with me. What year is this? 2021? Go back with me in 2019. Not that far. We were all alive in 19, right? Folks, do this. You were alive in 19. You know how I know you were alive in 19? You're alive right now. Y'all with me? If there are people watching who are not alive, but were alive in 19, well, you figure it out. All right. Now, back 2 years ago, if I saw someone out in a store or came into a church building with a mask on, what did that tell me?
They could rob it.
What's that?
They could rob it.
No, sir. No, sir. Wrong kind of mask. No, not going to be robbed. That tells me they had a health precaution. That tells me I need to respect that brother or sister and watch myself. They're trying not to catch something. I don't know if the brother's still living or not. Can't remember the congregation. But there was one brother that could assemble. And the way he assembled, they took one of the back rooms, a nursery, and he would assemble. He would lie down on the floor on his side because he could not set up due to a back ailment. I don't know if that brother's still living or not, or what he did. It was a highlight of how he would carve things, and he'd have to recline. That's the best comfort he could get with what he dealt with. Folks, when did the church get ignorant in these areas? Respect the brother. Romans 14 talks all about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We can work through these things. And I want to tell you, there were elders that truly grieved themselves over what to do. Let us revive and rejoice with our commitment, but let's keep in mind within our attendance, and is it time for us to come more offline and get back on cue? I think we would say so. But when there are brothers and sisters with great concern, with pre-existing conditions and all, we are to be considerate with them and work through that as well. We did it for years. Why change now? There are those, as they continue to come back, I remember I had one good brother tell me, if everybody in there wore a mask, I'd come back. Well, good brother, you can't bind that on everybody. And I might as well say it. If you can go to Walmart and people in there with everything else on, you can't come among your brethren and keep distance like in a Walmart store. Now, granted, Walmart's 30,000 square feet. This one's totally different. Folks, there's all kind of reason we can get. Let me get down to the bottom line. Don't come out the door. Don't start posting on Facebook and telling everything else. People have to make their own decisions of their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember, and remember, when we make that commitment, it's got to be a God-ordained commitment, and to make certain, with beyond the shadow of a doubt, that we're doing what our Lord would have us to do. And then we as brethren must work together and help one another. Let us revive and rejoice with our attendance. As folks begin to come back, there's still some concern. I choose to wear a mask when I greet people. Why? Number one, you don't know where I've been. Number two, I've had it and I don't want it again. And I've got to be concerned. And then thirdly, my wife and I have had some good long discussions and she feels better with it. Now somebody's going to say, well, do you do what your wife tells you to do? Well, dear friends, we're one flesh. And God has taught me as a husband to serve my wife. And she also serves and in subjection to me. I have a commitment to her. And I have to answer to God for that. As we come together, we began to renew. Let's think about this. Are we not taught in 1 Corinthians 14:15, pre-pandemic days that still preach the same? to pray with the spirit and the understanding, the right attitude while we pray, when we pray. Moments ago, Brother Johnny called out one brother to lead a prayer for the bread, one brother to lead a prayer for the fruit of the vine, one brother to lead a prayer for the contribution. I noticed the brother that led the prayer for the contribution did not pray for the sick. Should he? No. What's the purpose of that prayer? Y'all with me? When we return thanks for the Lord's Supper, what's the purpose of the prayer? When we pray with the spirit of the understanding, good brothers, what is the purpose of the prayer of which you have been appointed to lead? What is the reason? And then let us focus on praying with that spirit, right attitude, and understanding, and let us grow in our prayer life. Here's the second one. How about singing with the spirit and the understanding? 1 Corinthians 14:15. Why do we sing what we sing? Have you ever looked at the songs that we sing, and we should? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another how? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing is upward to our Father and outward to one another. Singing encourages, singing lifts us. Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. James 5. To sing. The next time that you sing this song I'm about to mention, see if this doesn't hit you differently. Second stanza of It Is Well With My Soul. Sing it like he wrote it. Try it. My sin, and then the writer actually stops. He's going to make a point, but he stops. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. A glorious thought of sin? No. Bliss of sin? No. No, no. Whole thing. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Here it comes. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Try this. My sin. Don't know how the songwriters did it. Place a little more pause right there. My sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. A little emphasis. You see, the writer says, my sin is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. But he stops because he's thinking about what he's writing. My sin, oh, wait a minute. My sin, whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Folks, when we sing with the spirit and the understanding, grasp the wording of the songs. Just as sure as my wording is noted, so the wording of the hymns. Remember the Lord's Supper when we partake, 1 Corinthians 11. To remember his death, or as the hymn said moments ago, in light of 1 Corinthians 11, we feast in faith, his coming yearn, we desire in the supper of the Lord. And I realize that sometimes, when we would serve the Lord's Supper and we would pass it, we would have time to dwell upon his death. Well, with the way we've had to adjust, with the prepackaged for safety reasons and all, no law that says we can't pause a little more for our thoughts. Focus on the hymn. Laying by in store hasn't changed our giving. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, lay by in store, plan, why are we giving what we give? That's a good challenge. We challenge that in our stewardship seminar. Why do you give what you give? Why did you pick that amount? Because there's a lot to look at laying by in store. There's a lot to give as we've been prospered. There's a variety of things in giving. And sometimes, folks, why do we give what we give? Teaching and preaching the word of God as we listen, as we study together, Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, all avenues of worship of which we engage. So, as we're coming back together, and where Justin no longer has the live at 5, and we're able to come back in here live at, what, 5:30 now?
Well, we're all in the morning, 9, 10, 11.
Okay, okay, so it's all 9, 10, 11 now. Okay, so now we're here together. You see, folks, these are things that worship is not a burden, but a blessing. A lot of congregations have looked at the long time, 6 p.m. worship hour, and look at either assembling longer on Sunday morning. Some places will have a lunch and then come back and meet together. One of the key reasons, people traveling. Sometimes the night service is not good for some congregations that have, in this respect, aged members, difficult to drive at night. We're still assembling on the first day of the week. Let us engage worship as we prepare ourselves. Not only, Lord, revive our commitment, but let us now revive our attendance. Here's our last one, as time is quickly approaching. And I'm going to stop about a quarter till, as Justin asked, because I know that there's much ahead for the day and planning and all. Let's revive and rejoice with our prayer life. Talked about this on Friday night, point one. Habakkuk was praying here. A prayer of praise and confident faith in the Lord. Listen to these passages on prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Paul said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." We tell people, when I make an International Gospel Hour update or presentation, when I come down to how can I help, I present what I call the four P's. And the first one is always prayer. Pray for our work. Pray the Lord will open those doors of opportunity that the word may have free course. Imagine if we pray like Daniel 6 verse 10. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, opened his window, turned unto God. Many of us pray much more often. In our prayer life, how many times, if you're on social media, did you scroll down and somebody says, "Pray for my family, pray for my," and, you know, do you pause and pray? I've had people come up to me and say, "Jeff, would you mind praying for my husband?" And I've learned to just take a few moments and pray with them then. Because what happens a lot of times? Would you pray for my brother? Would you pray for my sister? Justin, would you pray for X? I sure will. And then the day goes by and we just simply forget. We don't mean to. Folks, Matthew 21, 22, "In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall also receive." Someone will say, "Well, I prayed for something and I didn't get it, or I got something totally different." Hello, so did Christ. What did he pray in the garden? "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But he had to bear it. But the Lord provided what he needed. God provided what he needed. Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. Don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. But he prayed, "God, if you'll remove this, I can do more for you." God says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Paul changed his attitude. Folks, there are times I have prayed prayers and I've gotten a totally different answer. But looking back, that's the answer that God said needed to be done. And once we move it from here, from the heart, and we move our prayers to the Father, then let's trust Him to give us that answer. We are still weak, we still struggle, we still try. But we're going to press onward. A man asked an evangelist one time, "How can we have revival?" And the evangelist told him, "Do you have a place where you can pray?" Do you remember when the church, what was Wednesday night Bible study called? I remember growing up what it was called. So I know a lot of you remember. What did we call Wednesday night service? Prayer meeting. Prayer meeting. What a wonderful thought for the church to come together to pray. So our plea, Lord, let's revive and rejoice with prayer. A renewed commitment, renewed attendance, renewal of prayer. And here we are, dear folks, coming up on 131 years where this congregation is sung. You know, it's fairly easy to get out here to Wood. It really is. It wasn't bad to get out here today for you nor for me. But imagine 131 years ago the difficulty of going from McMinnville to right here. congregations assembled and started in communities. Because when you went to town on a given Saturday, that was a chore. You only did that once a week. 131 years, you continue to be a light in this area. What a wonderful thought. I think about driving out here now, the ease of it. I mean, a lot of all of us remember when the highway from Woodbury, 70, from Woodbury to McMinnville was a two-lane road. Went right by the Leone building. And I came back to do a meeting in Leone, and they did not tell me the road had changed. So I'm riding along that 70 just enjoying life. And I come up on Elkins, and I went too far. I quickly called Ronnie Hall. I said, Ronnie, start. I'll get there when I walk in the door. But I'm down here at Elkins because I didn't see a turn for Leone. He started laughing. He said, oh, Jeff, we forgot to tell you that the new road's put through. So I come back, take my first right, get over on the old road, and find it fine. But then I can remember them telling me. I can remember old Harry Barnes. Next meeting, 2024, that's when it's going to hit me. Man, I miss him. What a joy. Smile that could light up a room, faith that was strong, and a hair never out of place. I remember he told me, he said, you ought to have been here when he put the road through and opened it up and didn't put any signs out on the road yet. Totally black. He said, we were driving through farmland on blacktop. He said, we didn't know where to turn off. And then last night, going back to the room, when you go out to hit 70, there's every kind of sign and every kind of reflection in the world. If you run through it or you do something wrong, it's your fault. For years, 131, this place has been here. A lot easier to get to now, but it served its purpose. You know why? Because there's a lot of souls buried here that lived here, and they're awaiting the resurrection day. Like Thessalonica, they were individuals who were continual in their prayer. Their works here reflected their faith. They loved the labors that they did, and they embraced the hope in God, and as the elect, they wanted to be right in the sight of God, and that's how they lived their life. And this place continues. Like Philip, those individuals made a difference with their faith, their teaching, their influence in their homes. Why, even the impact is still made today. Many of you are right here who have attended here for years and talk of your family. I love to talk of individuals. They'll come up to me. I was at the Ware Ranch congregation over on the edge of Hamilton County. And a dear sister came to me and showed me a picture and showed me a little history. She said, I've been here 86 years. My mama and daddy helped to establish this congregation. Oh, that's special. And then, of course, individuals that long for heaven. They anticipated heaven. They prepared for their homecoming. And individuals who revived and rejoiced with commitment, coming together with attendance, and they battled sicknesses that they did not have cures for until years later would come. And then they were prayerful people. What a joy to come today and to think about 131 years of assembly here at the Wood Church of Christ. Let's give reverence to the past. Let's give reverence to the present, to God Almighty, and give reverence and rejoice in our future, because our future, or our loved ones' future who once served here. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have sustained this wonderful place. Thank you that the assembly together of praise unto you, glorious as it is. Revive us, Father, as we endure the sicknesses and the challenges of this day. Revive us and renew us that we may be what we need to be for you. watch over us the rest of this day, and especially within the next couple of hours or so as we're together in worship unto you and in fellowship with one another in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, 30 seconds left.